can have all the money in your hand, all the possessions anyone can ever have, but it's all worth the treasure. True worth is only measured not by what you got, but what you got in your heart. You can have, you can have everything. But what is it? What is it?
Never had it so good. 101.1 Radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good. Radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7. The world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. DeShay is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, love, and reflections, and passion, desire, and contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. DeShay has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. you will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I am so pleased today to have back with us Yolanda Holder. She missed last month because of a terrible incident that happened in Florida, and we're glad to have her back. And we want to just discuss the kind of tremendous things that she's doing in preparation for her outstanding event. And we want to grow inspiration from the things that she's doing because we know that if she can do them, she can inspire us to take one day at a time and do them ourselves. It's important that we make sure we make health a very important part of our existence. And we listen to people who are on the journey to great health, keeping themselves able to do things that should not be possible at their age. But there are a lot of people out there doing things at an older age, Yolanda, that weren't doing them before. So we need to take inspiration from all of them that tells us that we need to get off the couch and get out there and get our bodies moving.
Yes, that is so true, James. And thank you so much for having me on your show again. And yes, we do need to get up off the couch at our age.
So what is it that you're doing now? And tell us what you're getting prepared for, the great event that you're going to be involved in. And how is it that we just need to stop making excuses and start getting busy?
Yeah, that's true. We all have many excuses, and lately we've been coming up with some really good excuses. What I did, first of all, I'm a two-time Guinness World Record holder for the most marathons in the calendar year. I am the first African-American, male or female, and the second woman in the world to ever run or walk, which I'm a power walker, over 100 marathons in a calendar year. In 2006, in 2010, I broke an eight-year record and did 106 marathons. In 2012, I broke my own record with 120 marathons and ultras. And that was at the age of between 50 and 55. I'm really excited to share with you that I will be coming May 8th. I will be 60 years young, entering into a new chapter. And last year, I did the longest certified race in the world, and it was the 3,100-mile race in New York City. And what we did was you get an invitation. So I was blessed to get the invitation. I was one of 9 other athletes from around the world. I was the only American, and I was the third American, second woman, American woman to ever do this race. And what it was is that we had 52 days to reach 3,100 miles, which meant I had to do 60 miles a day for 52 straight days to reach the 3,100. So I'm going to let you think about that for a minute. Again, I'm going to repeat myself. I had to power walk. Oh, that was another thing, too. That was the main thing. I forget that I set a world record. I was the first pedestrian to ever do the race, and a pedestrian is a walker. Back in the 18th centuries, walking was huge. It was big as football and basketball. People came from all over the country to see these men and women walk, and they got paid millions of dollars to do this. I get paid nothing. My husband teases me and says if we ever get a divorce, he's taking all my medals. He's getting those, and I have over 600 medals. But the 3,100-mile race, it was just really huge. I've done many six-day races, and yes, that's 6 days. I stayed up for 6 days walking, and I podium on all 6 days of my races. I'm actually on the 10-day race. There's only one here in America, the 10-day race, and it's in New York. And I, 2 years ago, I broke an American record. So I still hold that title. I did 622 miles in 10 days. And the race is coming up again in April, and I'm praying that no female try to break my record. Even though records are meant to be broken. But back to the 3,100. So last year, it was June, on Father's Day, June 18th through August 7th, and it was brutal. It was the weather was just, I live in California, in Southern California, and so we don't get all this humidity and the rain. It rained. It was hot. It was humid. It was just really, really brutal. So I had not only the elements to deal with, I ended up getting blisters, and then I lost close to 20 pounds, lost my appetite. I got sick 3 times, a food virus, and another time some more stomach issues. And it was day, I think, 42 or something like that. And that was the day that I had the biggest fight with God. I mean, and of course he won. I'll tell you the ending. He won. But I had this huge fight with God. I was real thin. I was crying. My feet hurt. My whole body ached. And I just said, why did you send me here? What was my purpose to be here? Besides that I love, love, love walking. And I love competing, but this is crazy. I'm 44 miles behind, which means I have to make up that 44 plus still do my 60 a day. And I just said, why did you do this to me, God? Why? Why am I here? Why? I quit. I'm not doing this. I'm going home. There's no way in the world that I can make up 44 miles. And so when I got to my aid station, I had my phone turned off. And so I turned on the phone, and what felt like 5 minutes was only a couple of minutes, but my phone was just beeping with notifications. It was just beeping and beeping. And so when it stopped, I could see 3 of them, and one said, Yolanda, I'm praying for you. And then another one said, Yolanda, I walked today because of you. And then another one said, you're my inspiration. So I'm still kind of drying my eyes, crying, and then I clicked on the messages in there, and I started strolling, and it was like hundreds of them. Yolanda, I'm praying for you. Yolanda, you got this. Yolanda, you can do this. Just pray. You got this. And so then I just started to – something just like came all over my body. I just felt – relief. I started back smiling, and then I just looked up in the sky and I said, oops, I'm sorry, God. Now I know what my purpose is. And so then when the race director came to me, he was all sad and he said, Yolanda, you have to do 62 miles from here on. The next 19 days, you have to do 62 miles a day. The race started every morning right at 6 a.m. and we had until midnight to finish our 60 miles. And so I just looked at him, and I just smiled, and I said, okay. And so I finished that night. I think I did like 63 miles. And then when I woke up the next morning, I turned on my phone and I'm reading on my social media sites. One of them, all my ultra friends were like, Yolanda, you got this. It's just 100K. You've done that many times. And so in my mind, I was like, oh, yeah, it's just 100K. I've done that before. Well, 100K is 62 miles. So it becomes too weird. But see the difference? A mindset. You know, if you say 62 miles to me, I'm like, oh, darn. And then, but if you say, well, it's just 100K, you've done that many times. It was no problem. So I ended up finishing the race in 51 days, 17 hours, and 13 seconds, which only gave me a one-hour window. I finished, you know, right at 11 p.m., and everyone that was watching, because you could actually watch us live for 18 hours the day they had a live video cam, and you could watch us go around. And so what they did was they actually had a really nice setup, and I actually just saw part of my finishing video, and I'll post that on my social media site for you guys to see, because I still can't like really look at myself because I was really, really thin, and it just I see that side of it. I don't see the like, wow, you did something amazing. But anyway, people were on needles and pins because they didn't think I was going to make it. And so my husband and some family members and stuff, they were just, you know, calling and texting. And then my daughter, she was there, and they were calling her saying, is she going to make it? And so she was like, well, yeah, she is. But you guys didn't know that I was going to make it. But I just knew that I was relieved that I didn't have to have that stress on me of having, you know, 10 more days. So I just took my time. And so, but I didn't know it was affecting everybody that I was enjoying the last, you know, 10 hours. And so when it, and then there was another lady there, it was her first time too, Harita, she finished 4 hours ahead of me, so they saw her finish party, and they didn't think that I was going to finish. But the point of me telling you that is that when God puts something on your heart, you know, he's going to see you through it. So even though I didn't look in the time on the clock, look like, oh, she's not going to make it, and then you looked at me, besides my smile, you thought, oh, God, she's feed her, somebody feed this woman. And so, but I just knew, I just wanted to soak in that last few hours and just thank God that he gave me that opportunity and he gave me the strength and the courage to do something just so extreme. And here in America, they don't know much about this race, and now they are, because I did the race, and by me having all of these different what, in the marathon community, I would be considered a challenge, or she can't do it because, one, you know, she's 59 years old. Two, she's just a walker, you know. So competing with runners and younger people, it was just a huge, huge inspiration, and it made other people think, wow, you know, I have never even done a 5K, which is 3 miles, versus to see this woman do 3,100 miles, you know. And so God, he just really blessed me with that, just that, the strength and the, just the, and the courage. Like I said, the courage, because sometimes I've been doing this extreme multiple almost every weekend for almost 10 years. Of marathoning, we call it marathoning now, where you're doing a marathon, you know, Friday, Saturday, if there's a holiday, you're doing it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. But basically every Saturday and Sunday, I was traveling the country in what we called back then chasing marathons. And today there's just marathons everywhere, especially ultras. They're popping up all the way. But I was blessed back in between 2010 in 2015, California had more ultras than any other state. So by me living here in Southern California, I did a lot of commuting to Northern California to do the ultras there. And so I was just flying and driving back and forth just all over. And when I look back now, it was pretty huge what I've done, and especially the 50 ultra is a 50K and a beyond, and a 50K is 31 miles, and I didn't realize how amazing that was, because the ultras are usually up in the mountains. In the mountains, you know, when you're walking or running, trying to run those mountains, it takes you longer, you know, to get it done. And the race directors, they all got to know me, and they were like, oh, and they have cutoff times. And I always made every cutoff, and they were just like, oh, we're not worried about Yolanda. Yolanda will get it done. You know, so we're not worried about her.
Well, let me ask you, in your training to get ready for May, what are you doing every day to get yourself mentally and physically prepared for your next
Well, what I'm doing now is 2 weeks ago, I did a 100-miler in Las Vegas, and I was using that as my training for the 3100, which was now, mm-hmm. I realized, was not a good idea, because I ended up getting blisters on my feet, where I just got my feet right back to where they need to be. And so now, so that was not a good idea to go and do a 100-miler and get your feet all messed up again. So what I'm doing is I'm actually trying different supplements so that I can get my nutrition right. So getting ready for the 3100, doing it from last year, nutrition is number one for me. So I'm working on my nutrition, trying different, because I have a very sensitive stomach. And you have to picture walking or running nonstop for 18 hours. Your insides it messes them up. I mean, it just doesn't feel right. And then trying to walk and eat at the same time. And it's just, so that's a job in itself, to try to figure out what foods that you can eat that will give you energy, but yet not upset your stomach. And so that's kind of what I'm working on. And then also, it's basically 80% mental, and that 20% is physical. So last year I had a mindset coach, and she was also a track and field coach, but number one was mindset. And she pretty much got my mind set to go the distance. Because it only takes a minute to say, oh, my feet hurt. I don't want to do this. And now you're done. It takes longer. It only takes 1 second to tell yourself you don't want to do it. But it takes hours to convince yourself you do want to do it when you're doing a race. And I never had any days like that. But I did have other challenges, which was getting sick, or the blisters on my feet. And then my feet grew. I wear 9 to 9.5, but I brought size 10. Well, I am now 11, believe it or not, I'm size 11. And so shoes are number one to get myself ready. I do like Skechers, but now I'm trying other shoes, other products, shoe products, because just getting your feet right. And then I'm also trying different insoles, because it wasn't so much, I only had two small blisters, one on each foot, that we kept control of. And so the blisters were not a problem, but it was pounding on that cement, that sidewalk, for 18 hours. My feet literally hurt. When I sat down for a few minute break, I just knew it was going to be horrible to get up to start back. I would have to do a whole mile real slow just to get my feet back to where they just didn't hurt. And so it felt like I have sprained my ankle before, so it felt like my whole foot was just sprained. It felt like bones were broken, even though they weren't. And then they would only swell just a little bit. And so when I did take a break, I would ice my feet. So it's more, now that I've done the race, it's more fixing all those problems that I had. And had nothing to do with actually walking the race, because mentally I was ready for that, but I had to get my body, you know, for, like I said, the blisters, because I've had blisters all the time in races, so I knew how to take care of the blisters, but I just didn't know. My feet was literally just freaking hurt, and then I didn't want to get too. It got to the point where Tylenol didn't work anymore, so then Advil would work. And so I would have to rotate, and then, of course, you can't do so much Advil or take too many of those. I just got immune to them. And then, like I said, the nutrition, the weight was just falling off and falling off. So, ladies, if you want to drop some weight, believe me, you can do it walking. Okay, not this extreme, but...
Well,
walking.
Well, tell our audience a little bit about your diet. What are you eating every day? What do you eat to keep yourself prepared to take on these challenges?
You know, I don't eat anything different, but however, right now I'm getting ready to do my second bikini fitness competition. This one is going to be at the famous Venice Muscle Beach. May 28th. So when I did my competition a year and a half ago, that is the best nutrition diet. I only did the competition because I wanted to see, by already being a thin woman, I just said, you know, can you really transform your body by eating? Yes, you can. My diet right now consists of chicken breast, fish, lots and lots and lots of broccoli and brown rice. So that's what I'm eating now, and to get ready for this competition. But once May 28th gets here, after I finish the competition, then it's going back to everything to get ready. Because then I have 3 weeks before June 17th, before the race start. And so what I'm going to do between May 28th and June 17th, I'm going to In-N-Out Burger. I am going to just French fries. I'm going to fatten up. It's going to be hard watching my body go from fitness to, you know, I mean, I'm still going to eat healthy, but I've got to take in so much calories. So I'm going to eat. I'm going to eat steak and fries. I'm going to eat baked potatoes. I'm going to fatten myself up so that, you know, when the weight starts coming off, it'll be that weight that I'm trying to lose versus it just falling off. And then with one of the guys from Sweden last year, I was, you know, to myself, I was very judgmental. And I thought, he was the big guy. He was about 6'3 or 6'4, but he was really heavy. And I said, okay, I'm with the best athlete. Okay, he's awfully huge. Okay, let's see what he can do. I know I can beat him because he's just too big to run. Well, I saw why he was that big, because he lost all of that weight. My daughter came back at the last week. She was there the first week, and she came back the last week, and she said, Mom, I couldn't believe – I didn't know who he was because he lost so much weight. And even one of the ladies – she wasn't a big lady, but she had put on some extra weight. So anyway, my point is I'm going to purposely put on weight so that I can, within 10, 15, 20 days, it'll be dropped off and I'll be back to my normal weight and I can maintain it. So the only nutrition that I'm doing right now is a fitness competition nutrition, which just it's eating 6 small meals a day. Along with the protein shake, and it's very healthy. It's just brown rice, broccoli, string beans, if you get tired of the broccoli, chicken breast, or fish. Very simple, but it is in portions. Like today I'm on 3 ounces of chicken breast, 1 cup of rice, and a cup of broccoli. And I do that four times I eat that. Well, three times. And then breakfast is three boiled eggs without the yolk, oatmeal with some walnuts. And that was breakfast this morning, along with a cup of coffee. But the difference.
When do you start your regimen? What time in the morning does your day start?
My day starts at 5 a.m. and breakfast is at 6. And then I have I start to put in my miles. And then after my miles at 9:30, I eat again. And then whatever's on my schedule, whatever body part, muscle group that I'm working, then I work that. And then at 11:30, I eat again. And then again at 2:30. It's very tedious. I've been on it for a couple of weeks and I'm already kind of like, but it works.
Do you have any joint pain or if you do, how do you deal with your joint pain? I mean, I know I suffer a lot from my knees, not so much my ankles, but my knees. And so, do you have any joint pain or how do you deal with it? When you do have it.
No, I don't. Okay, this is what I have back problems from doing the marathons. Okay, a couple of years ago, when I do marathons to 26 miles, my back doesn't hurt. But anything above a 50K, 31 miles, I develop this lean. I lean to the right. In other words, my muscles, in my back will get tired, and so therefore I start leaning over to another muscle. So it just felt very comfortable leaning, and so but it doesn't look right, and then again my back hurts. So getting a massage afterwards, that just really wasn't working. So 2 years ago, a friend of mine started a challenge to do a headstand. To do a daily headstand, and I had never done a headstand, so she started it January 1st, and then it took me a month to learn to do the headstand, in other words, to come off the wall doing a headstand. So then it took another 2 weeks. My husband had to spot me. You know, I had to have somebody. He was my wall, stand in front of me while I do this. And so once I learned to do the headstand, and I did it every single day, I think that year, 2 years ago, I did a couple of 6-day races. I did some 100-milers. My back did not hurt. I did not lean to the right. And so then I started noticing that, okay, doing this headstand. So then I kind of researched doing what the benefits of doing a headstand is. It strengthens your lower back, your arms, your shoulders, and it definitely really contracts and works your abs, because your abs are what is holding you up. And then your abs, if you've got strong abs, your abs support your back. So now, last year, I think I did almost every day a headstand. I missed a few days. But Teresa, her name is Teresa, really beautiful woman, she brought the challenge back this year. So I'm on today is day 67 of doing a headstand every day. So that doing these marathons, the 3100, the only really physical problem I had was my feet just literally hurting, okay? And so so doing a marathon or just any running or walking, a 5K or more, if your back starts to hurt or any other, your joints or whatever, stretching really, really, really helps. And I used to never stretch. And matter of fact, I don't warm up. I figure walking at a 15-minute mile pace or 16 to 18 is my warm-up. After doing the 3100 and doing a headstand every day, I now stretch. I, again, before the race starts around 10 minutes to six, I'm stretching and I'm really getting my body, my muscles, my major muscle groups warmed up, and then I can start the race. So I've learned a lot. So, but as far as just some issues with my joints or anything like that, I actually don't have that. But during the marathons, the back was a huge problem, and to correct that for me is headstands and stretching.
Now, what about, they got this new thing, I think they call it planing, where you, when you on your elbows and you on your elbows and your toes, and you do that for a set amount of time. Do you do any of those?
Yeah, those are planks, and yes, I do planks. Matter of fact,
planks.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No problem. To me, a plank is just like a headstand. The only difference, you're vertical, and the headstands, you're straight up. Yeah, it's basically it's just two different ways to do it, because the plank, you're holding yourself up with your abs, and then of course you're strengthening your arms. And they look really, the planks look very simple and easy, and they're the hardest things to do. And for a while there, what I was doing is right when I wake up in the mornings, I say my gratitude prayers and stuff, but I used to do it in the bed right when I wake up. Well, before I started back the headstands this year, I would just get right on the floor as soon as I stepped out of bed and did a plank. And I'm telling you, that wakes up every single muscle in your body along with your brain, because your brain is saying, what the heck are you doing? But if you could get up to like 3 minutes of doing that along with saying your gratitude prayers, you're good to go for the day.
Okay. All right, let me get some of the audience in. We've been talking for a while. Cheryl, do you have any statements or questions you'd like to ask?
Good evening, and how's everyone doing? Good evening, Yolanda. I'm really enjoying everything that she's saying. It's very providing you with a lot of information. And congratulations on your marathons and your the different things that you participate in, and really on your everyday way of living. Is really, really incredible. So, again, I'm listening.
Thank you, Cheryl.
To share with Yolanda, what is your regimen, your eating regimen or diet regimen? What are you doing in terms of your morning ritual throughout your day? How many meals are you trying to eat?
Right now I've been on I'm doing my consecration. So, and it's no food at all. So I've just been doing, different types of herbal teas, my herbs, and my gallon of water a day. But normally, I'm a pretty, pretty boring eater, and, I don't eat a lot of food. In the morning, I may have a fruit if I have anything. I may eat some lunch. I may eat a salad. For dinner, I probably would do a type of fish and maybe a vegetable. I do eat a lot of raw vegetables and fruits. Very little cooked foods, plenty of water, plenty of drink, plenty of herbal teas, herbs and packet herbals and pill forms as well. So that's me. I'm pretty boring when it comes to eating.
And now,
how
often are you going to the gym?
At least 4 times a week, but with the other 3 days, I may do some exercises here at home, because I have different equipment that I've gotten over this last year, and I am familiar with planks. I do the planks as well, but 4 times at the gym a week.
Joyce, what do you have any questions or statements you would like to make to Yolanda?
Hi, Yolanda. How you doing? Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I don't have any questions, but my sister Audrey might have some. Hold 1 second.
Tremendous Thursday, everyone. I would just like to say thank you for sharing. Congratulations on pushing yourself and Miss Yolanda, and you know, being the best you that you can do and be. And now you're sharing that with us and others. I have a long way to go myself to really work out and eat properly. I know it's the right thing to do, but haven't just mastered that yet. So I really support you and your endeavors, and thank you for sharing your story. It's truly inspirational.
Thank you, Joyce.
You're welcome. This is our sister. We're together in Arizona.
Yeah, that's our sidekick, Audrey, who's out of town.
Oh, Audrey, sorry.
So,
hi, Audrey.
Just
dilly-dilly
just
moving
to where she's going to go. But that's okay. But
sorry, Audrey.
Yolanda, tell us how you really got started. How did this start? How did you just all of a sudden decide that you were going to put your body through this kind of pain and torture?
Well, first of all, it's not pain and it's not torture because it led up to this. No, I know it sounds painful and torture, but it really isn't. What happened was almost 10 years ago, for my 50th birthday, I wanted to do something different. So I set out to do 50 marathons in 50 weeks, and I didn't accomplish that. I ended up doing 65 marathons in 52 weeks, and it led to where I am today. I've never stopped. And at the time that when I was turning 50, I had only done a total of 12 full marathons, because back then you would do 1 or 2 marathons a year. And then that first one you did, you talked about that for almost 6 months. Okay, bragging rights. And so that was in my 40s, and I did plenty of 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons. And my first full marathon was in 1998 at the Portland Marathon. And the reason why I chose the Portland Marathon is because they're walker-friendly. I've been true to myself as a walker. I've had many, many people and runners tell me, you look like a runner. Why won't you run? You would be so much faster and better. And I said, and this is true. I tell people today, the reason why I don't run is because I'm lazy. It hurts to run. At least to me it does. Get your heart rate way up there, and you're huffing and puffing. That hurts. Your legs hurt. So I'm like, no. And people think I'm being sarcastic or funny, or when I say I'm lazy, it's true. Even though walking, you're out there a little bit longer than the runners. Yes, my best time on a marathon is 5 hours and 22 minutes. However, listen to this, ladies. When I believe that I was one of maybe 3 people in the United States that was running, walking a marathon with a skirt on. They didn't have running skirts, so I would wear, okay. And I would get my hair done on Saturday to do a marathon on Sunday. I would put on my designer sunglasses, and hey, I was fabulous. And so that's why I got the name Walking Diesel, because I feel like this. If I'm going to pay the money to do this race, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to be grumpy about it. I'm going to look good. And that's how Walking Diva got started, because people were like, oh, my God, she's in a skirt. Look how she's dressed. Oh, my God. Boy, you look fabulous. Oh, and now it's the biggest thing. All the ladies, there are so many different outfits to wear. And now I tell people to get to that point, to get to the marathon, what do you have to do? You have to train. Who said you have to? You don't have to look good training? I also look good when I'm training because I figure like this, why be grumpy, look grumpy while you're training? There's no reason why you can't look fabulous while you're training too. And so sometimes I'm in the gym with my sunglasses on, a lot of times because my eyes are red. I have my sunglasses on. I'm thinking, okay, got to get this done. Might as well put my sunglasses on. Might as well put my cute little workout outfit on, and let's just get this done. Now what I'm doing I'm training for this this fitness competition, and so I have to walk in 5-inch heels, okay? So what do I do again? I carry my 5-inch heels with me to the gym. In their huge aerobics room, I'm walking back and forth, back and forth. And then the good thing is they have the punching bags, and so the guys are in there. They already have the music for me. So I'm practicing. I tell people this too. Walking in 5-inch heels is a workout. You're working your legs. You're working your calves. Now try posing. Okay, those poses, these ladies make these poses look like, oh, that is just so simple and easy to do. Try twisting your body. So I do that. And then today I did my headstand and picture because I have to post on Instagram on Teresa's page. We post a picture of us doing our daily headstand. And, of course, I took mine in my 5-inch heels. Again, it's not torture. Walking in 5-inch heels is really torture. However, you can make it fun. And I always tell people, you can make it fun at any age. I'm 59.8. 2 more months, I'll be 60. And people have been asking me this question, wow, what is your 60s going to bring? That's a new chapter. Got to wait and see. Wait and see. But what I'm trying to say is that working out and doing an event, whether you like running, walking, riding your bike, hiking, make it fun. It doesn't have to hurt. And I think that's where we kind of lose focus on our health. I mean, especially as women, I'm a mom of 2 grown children now, no grandkids yet, but 2 kids. I did everything was for my family. I was last, and it's just normal. You eat last. Your children come first, and then your husband, then yourself. And so, now that my kids are grown and out the house, a lot of people ask me, how do you travel and do the things you do? Well, one, you know, in the fitness world. I love it, and 2, I put me first, and then by putting me first, my health, they work hand in hand. Working out is working your health, and so I didn't have any role models growing up. You know, as a matter of fact, the virtual Extreme Walk for Diabetes 52 to 8 challenge is I founded that in my mom's. Yesterday was her birthday. She would have been 79 years young, and she died of a massive stroke 5 years ago. She had, you know, diabetes complications. My father's been gone for 15 years with diabetes. He died of diabetes complications. So, you know, I just had no, and I'm pretty sure all of us were like that. We just didn't have, our health just wasn't number one. Everything else was mainly our jobs because, you know, we had to pay the bills. And so you just never thought about your health. And so back to a question that you asked me, James, earlier on, you know, how do you get rid of the excuses to not, you know, put your health first? And it was really hard for me for a long time because even before I started doing these multiple marathoning, you know, people would, you know, like, thought I was selfish, but I didn't realize that I was actually putting myself first. But what I would end up doing is getting up before the kids. And so I would be outside walking, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning and back home by 6:30 to get the kids up and ready to go. And I was only doing that because I wanted to, and because I knew that once my day got started, I would come up with 100 excuses, some really good ones, of why I couldn't walk that day. And so basically, you know, as a woman, you just have to put yourself first. And so I always like to work out first thing that I do before my whole day because, again, I'm human too. I can come up with some really good excuses not to work out. And so we just, again, if you don't have, which I didn't, my parents didn't work out, and their parents didn't work out. And so I guess we were just, and then, like I said, when you first start to work out, it does hurt. You know, you're sore. And so the mind says, no, I don't want to feel that way. So we're not going to do it. And so that's how I get rid of my excuses, is just to try to get it done right away. And then it becomes a habit. And then that habit becomes where your body will start to crave that workout. And then how I came to the extreme, because a 5K, which is 3 miles, will lead to a 10K. A 10K is 6 miles. Okay. And then you see what I'm saying? And then it just goes on and on. So next thing you know, you'll be where I am. You'll be begging the race director to let you in the 3100. Because you know you can do it. So that's kind of how.
I have a couple of more people on. Let me try to get them in. 9520. Okay. 9520. Give me your name and where you're calling from. The last 4 digits of your number is 9520. Give me your name and where you're calling from. All right, Dee, what are your thoughts? What would you like to say to Yolanda Holder about what she's doing to just let us know? Just before turning 60, she's doing these magnificent events.
Well, good evening, everybody, and thanks for having your guest on, James. I find it very inspirational to know that at age close to 60, she's finding ways to exercise and keep her weight down. My next birthday, I'll be 62, and I'm always looking for a better way to try to get off the blood pressure medicines and things like that. And I don't know you to answer the question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is walking. The power walking that I hear you speaking of, is that walking vigorously? And secondly, Dick Gregory years ago explained that the only way to walk or the way to get more out of your walking is to use your heels. And I think most people don't realize that. And is there any truth to that? Is using your heel most beneficial? And does the power walking consist of vigorous walking, and is that enough to get the substitute the need for blood pressure medicine? I know you're not a doctor, but I get your opinion in that. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I walk. It's heel toe. Yes, and it's pumping your arms. That's what power walking is. Is that your posture is straight up. Your eyes are looking straight ahead. Your arms are at a 90-degree angle, close to your waist, and you're pumping your arms because actually that's what's giving you the speed. Is you're moving with your arms and guiding with your shoulders, and then you're coming down on your heel just like what Jeffrey said, it's heel toe, and that's what gives you the speed, and you're actually taking a little bit shorter steps, and that's what gives you your speed, and the faster you go. When I'm competing for time more than distance, I I'm cruising at a 12-minute mile pace, and then I'm working hard anywhere from 10.5 to 11.5. And, yes, the only way that you're going to drop weight and to really see a difference in your health and your weight is that you power walk, not leisure walk. A lot of the doctors used to say, you know, walk for 15, 20 minutes three times a week. No, you need to do some rigorous 30-minute power walking, 30 minutes a day, every day, not just three times a week. I mean, but you want to gear up to that. If you have some health issues and stuff like that, you want to gear up to that. But that's what you want. You want that 30 minutes of really power walking every single day. And if you can do that the same time every day, it will lead to a little bit more. And as far as your high blood pressure, walking helps control everything. Absolutely everything. I went to a convention 2 years ago in Washington, D.C. It was for walking, and a lot of the doctors said that walking was the best way that they prescribed for their patients. No matter what disease they had, they would always add in there, and they would write it on a prescription pad, walk 30 minutes a day. Yeah, it does so much for your body and also mentally. I come up with my most creative ideas walking. It's when I'm out walking, I can meditate. My mind just goes. It's just heaven for me. And then if you live near a beach walking is the best. Take your shoes off. Let the waves hit your feet. And that's actually the salt water. You know how they tell you if your muscles are sore, go soak in some Epsom salt? Well, that's your Epsom salt right there, the ocean. And I keep going on and on left field. I do want to tell you guys about my virtual Extreme Walk for Diabetes 52-Day Challenge. While I'm in New York walking for 52 days, you can do it with me by walking a mile or more a day for 52 straight days. If you go on yolandaholder.com, there's more information about it, and you sign up there. And I hope that everyone's listening that will take the challenge. Even if you can't do a mile a day, just 15 minutes, or use your Fitbit and whatever your Fitbit tells you you're doing, how many steps a day, just move your body every day for 52 days. And then if you have one of those days, you're on day, say, 23, and you're coming up with all these great excuses that you don't want to move your body, just turn on your phone, your computer, wherever, and go online and watch me go around and around and around that block for 18 hours a day, over 7 days. Oh, my God, when I think about it, it's going to be fun. 3,100 miles. So just think about that. When you can't do a mile, think about it. Yolanda's doing 60 today. That'll get you motivated.
Wow.
To do your
and you want me to believe that it's not pain. I'm sorry, Yolanda. I am inspired by you. Every time I listen to you, I say, I need to get up from here and get moving. But all I hear, you know, I played football and I played basketball. I wrestled. Didn't do much track. But I don't, if my coach would have came to me and said, okay, this morning we want y'all to walk 60 miles, I would say, man, you out of your mind. So all
and,
within what I've done, I don't think I've ever walked those 60 miles.
For 52 straight days, day after day after day. And get this, it's a half-mile block going around that block. And a lot of people that followed me, they would get, like, mad. They were like, okay, it takes her 7.5 minutes to go around. And so they're, like, on their computer at work, and then they look over at their phone. I don't see her. Where is she? And then they look at the time.
And then they were like, where were you? It took you 10 minutes to go around the block. Well, I did have to go to the bathroom. Okay, I'm sorry. I did stop and talk to some of the locals that live there, okay? Can I have some fun? But, yeah, it's a virtual, which means you do it anywhere, anytime, time of the day, or night or morning. But like I said, if you're having dinner and it's 7:30 and you still haven't done your mile for the day, again, just turn on your computer or your phone and say, let me see what Yolanda's doing. Let me see what mile she's on. Oh, she's on 1,432. I guess I can walk a mile. So it's interesting.
We want you to continue to come back with us and just keep us abreast of what you're going to be doing. And we definitely want to be watching you as you do the event. It sounds so exciting. Let's go back around. We got a few people and make sure everybody has everything out. Cheryl, any additional things you want to say or share with Yolanda?
No, again, I'm just listening, really enjoying everything that I'm hearing and just taking it all in.
Thank you.
Now, Joyce, you walk your dog daily, don't you?
Yes, I do. I do 10,000 miles, 10,000 steps per day. That's my goal, 10,000 steps. And on good days when I'm really in tune and on the move, I do up to 15,000 steps per day.
Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations.
I don't know how many miles that is, but that's my goal, is between 10 and 15,000 steps per day.
Nice. Very nice, Joyce.
Well, I'm trying.
Audrey,
you know,
what are you averaging, Audrey?
What are you averaging every day?
I'll cut back. I used to try to keep up with Joyce. We was battling back and forth. But once I became sick, Yolanda, I came up with the excuse. That's what happened. And then I dropped down. So I'm trying to start back over again and get back up to that 10. Anywhere between 10 and 15 is good for me, because that helped me maintain weight as well as it will help me to lose weight. So I know what I need to do based on the amount of what I eat and that type of thing. That's what I need a day to maintain and then reduce weight.
Oh, very good. Very good, Andre. Congratulations and welcome back.
Now, Yolanda, what are your plans after May? What will be the next event after you complete your May event?
Well, May is the fitness competition, and then June through August is the 3100. And last year it took me 3 months to recover. So during the 3 months from August to November, I'll be trying to finish up book two. So that'll be pretty much all I'll be doing after I get back from the 3100.
And I did forget, but I wanted to let you know, we truly, as a man and one of the few men on the show tonight, I want to let you know we appreciate you in those heels. I mean, there's nothing better than a woman who truly knows how to walk in heels. I have to tell you a little joke. I work at the Wellsville Museum, so a lot of times I'm at the museum parking cars, and there truly is nothing funnier than a woman who does not know how to walk in 5-inch heels, but who is determined to wear them. And so it is almost laughable, boy, when you see somebody who just decided, I'm going to wear these heels whether I know how to walk in them or not. So it is.
I'm telling you, it's not fun. And it's not something that I do. My normal heels are only not even 3-inch, let alone 5. So it's but it's a workout. That's the way I'm looking at it. It's working my calves. Oh boy.
Well, we're gonna let everyone have a final thought. You know, I just one of the things I want to tell you I just got to keep having you come on once a month. You and Cheryl really worked with me. I have a long way to go. Last week I went to the gym three times. I have a young man named Lorenzo Johnson. He was kind of out of commission this week. But listening to you all, I have to get to the point where when he's not available that I just get up and I go on my own. What I'm doing now is a lot of swimming because and walking in the pool because my knee joints hurt when I'm outside the pool. So, I just had to get to the point where, despite whether Lorenzo is available or not, that I make myself go. I'm a member at 24-Hour Fitness. But when I listen to what you all are doing, I have absolutely no excuses. And even Audrey has done everything. Everybody's on my back. I tell you what, I have some of the best audience and best friends who just keep me, even with Lorenzo, it's like, I have people who say, I'm not going to allow you to fail. And so it is just nice having you and listening to you. And I'm thinking about right now, even if Lorenzo don't call me, I need to get up in the morning and go to the gym and spend some time mm-hmm. swimming and walking because people yep. like you are just doing some incredible things.
Thank you. And yes, and you can do it. I mean, it's just one day at a time. Don't think about tomorrow. Just think about today.
All right. I'm going to go to Joyce. I'm going to come to you next since there's two of you there. Cheryl, what are your final thoughts as we come to the end of the show?
Definitely a pleasure having you again, Yolanda, and look forward to having you on many, many more times where we can definitely be educated on that you're doing right now. And it definitely was a pleasure listening to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And Joyce, after you finish, allow Audrey to have her final thought.
Well, thank you very much, Yolanda. You just really gave me the encouragement to keep pushing myself, keep on getting up and just keep pushing. And for all of those, it's no failure, really. But, you're going to have good days and bad days. But, when you fall off the horse, you just have to get up, shake it up, and get back on and enjoy the ride. Thank you. Hold 1 second.
Again, Miss Yolanda, thank you so much. And may the Lord continue to bless you because through your blessings, you really are blessed, courage, and inspiring others. So we thank you for sharing your story and giving us the inspiration and courage to move forward. And I just encourage everyone to know that we take it one step at a time, one step at a time. So keep stepping.
Thank you. And
all
you
right.
too.
All right, Yolanda, your final thought for this evening?
Keep moving your body and smiling. Your health is your wealth.
It is. You're so right. And I just want to continue to thank all of you that call in for your support. It is just amazing to me that there's so many of us out there doing so many tremendous things, and we want you to be able to come on and talk about what it is you're doing so that you can continue to inspire us to do what we're doing. Did you mention, are you writing a book?
Yes, I have. Book one is out. It's been out for a couple of years, and it's called My Journey to Guinness. You can get it on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. And then book two, I'm hoping to have a publisher or have it ready by the end of this year, because I'm going to add the two 3,100 miles along with my two fitness competitions, along with my two Guinnesses. It's just going to be all one great big, and with all my nutrition and my thoughts and everything all in one. And I'm working on it now. So the best time to work on it is when I get back from the 3,100 in August, because it took me last year over 3 months to recover. So, and I mean, I'm talking literally laying down, recovering. And so this way I can work on the book. I have some free time. forced free time.
Okay. Now, have you been successful with finding any sponsors to help you with your expenses?
No, not at all. No, I actually just heard from Fitbit today, because 2 years ago they had me on their blog and sent me some goodies and stuff, and then today I heard from them again, and it was a little disappointing, but they just want to give me not even their latest watch. They have it's called the Blaze, I think. That's a watch or something. And they're not even want to give me that. So I was a little disappointed. But I'm grateful, because they know of me. But it's really been difficult. But I just take what God gives me, and he provides for me to do what I do. But I was really disappointed in Fitbit, because when they started their product, it was for us walkers. It was for walkers and people who don't move their body, even though I do move my body, but I'm a walker. And so now that their product, and they've got like 10 different types of Fitbits, they're going with the elite athletes. And he happens to live right here near me, and he's not even an Olympian, and they're sponsoring him. And it's just, so I was a little disappointed to get that email. You know, it's just like, ugh, you know, and so,
well, we
but yeah. So
we certainly want you on our show, and the link will go out and have everyone give your website again, so people can reach out and follow you, get to your website, and be able to get in touch with you.
Yeah, it's YolandaHolder.com. That's my website, and you can reach me through there. And then it's Yolanda Holder on all the social media sites, from Facebook to Instagram to Twitter to my LinkedIn account. They're all the same, Yolanda Holder. If you Google me, everything comes up.
Okay. Well, we're going to do all we can to get your name out there, and hopefully we can find some people who want to give to your event and sponsor you, because you're worthy. You are doing things that all people of color need to hear about, so that we need to get off our rear ends, and I'm one of them, and start doing just a minimum of what you're doing, so that we can get our lives back on track. Again, I want to thank all of you out there in the sound of my voice. I want to encourage you to go to Yolanda Holder's website. Let us support her any way that we possibly can. And we just want to make sure that we recognize that she can be our inspiration to get our lives back in order. I want to thank all of you for your continued support, and I look forward to being on the show with you tomorrow. We're going to have a great show tomorrow, and I'll send out to you what the show is going to be about, but we need all your voices on tomorrow so that we can talk about the things that impact our lives now and in the future. Take care, everybody. See you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time at 657-383-0309. Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, where your voice is heard loud and clear.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to...